It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert will be back in the air with me tomorrow. And tomorrow, we want to hear some of your Father's Day stories, a lesson you learned from your father, great advice maybe you got from your father, or advice you hope to impart to your children if you're a dad. You can leave a message right now at 855-683-5422. That's 855-683-5422. Tell us the best lesson you learned from your dad. We'll play your pieces of advice, your lessons on the air tomorrow. Again, 855-683-5422. Coming up yet today, we'll take a look at a recently released poll showing opposition to public funding for a new basketball arena and entertainment center in Milwaukee. First, our next guest says our government drug policy is a little bit upside down. Instead of fighting to stop the flow of drugs and to keep drugs from people who want them, he says the government should consider promoting the innovation of new drugs that meet people's desire for an altered state of consciousness without the downsides, the negatives that many drugs carry with them. Greg Beato is a columnist and contributing editor for Reason Magazine, where his piece, The DIY Drug Prize, appeared. Greg, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, as part of the problem you're trying to solve, you say the war on drugs as we know it has been a moral issue as much as a medical issue. Why did that happen, and what's wrong with that way of thinking about recreational drugs?
Well, I think why it happened was because they needed to create a context for, you know, sort of an all-out effort to say that drugs are bad. Once you're going to say that they're illegal, you have to then say they're bad. That helps, you know, kind of keep the enforcement efforts coherent. But that's what is kind of odd about the whole thing. It's like, what is it that the government is actually trying to solve? What's the problem we're trying to solve by making certain recreational drugs illegal? Is it a health issue? Is it a, you know, just a social order issue, or is it a moral issue? And, you know, as I say in my piece, I talk about how when the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy introduced its first paper that it wrote 25 years ago, and when it became an agency, it talked about there being this crisis of national character, and that was why the federal government was spearheading this new effort to reduce drug usage. And in my estimation, the federal government should not be trying to say, you know, we need to make our citizens better people. At the most, they should be saying we need to do what we can to create a healthier, more orderly society. And so if that's really what we're trying to solve through some type of drug control efforts, is there a better way to do that than what they've been doing for the last 25 to 50 years, which is essentially trying to cut off demand and cut off supply?
And you say kind of at the bottom of this, there are always going to be some people who have a desire for some kind of altered state of consciousness in recreational drug form. That's not going to go away anytime soon?
Yeah, I think it's more than some people. It's a profound human urge. You know, I talk about this book by this UCLA psychopharmacologist, Ronald Siegel. He wrote it in 1989, so it's not a new book, but he describes, you know, our human urge for drugs as a fourth drive. It's just as powerful as our drive for, you know, hunger, thirst, and sex. It's one of the primary types of human behavior. And if you look, you know, across history at different cultures, there's almost always, you know, some sort of intoxicant that is created. It's a primary, primal human urge and pastime.
Well, what you're hoping to see is some kind of innovation to meet that desire that you're saying is a primal urge without the harm that comes along with it. There is some innovation now, you write, a lot of synthetic alternatives to the drugs that are currently banned. What's the state of the market there?
Yeah, well, right now what's happening is, you know, as technology gets distributed and people can create more and more sophisticated labs in, you know, whether it's their homes or in various sort of commercial or semi-commercial environments, you've got an incredible amount of experimentation and development of synthetic drugs that are going on to the point where, you know, the Congress, which tracks this, is, you know, seeing hundreds of new drugs come on the market. And, you know, a new substance isn't immediately illegal. We have to make it illegal, turn it into a Schedule I drug. So a lot of times these things will be developed because they, you know, they take a structure and they alter it chemically to make it something that hasn't been declared illegal already, and then they sort of semi-licitly sell it until it gets declared illegal. So now, you know, the government is trying to, there's some interest in trying to change the laws, and some of the laws have been changed to kind of preclude or preempt this type of activity, but it's not going to go away. This is a, you know, an issue that goes beyond making new drugs. It's as technology gets distributed and more sophisticated, and as we have better and better ways to connect with each other and engage in transactions, whether it's Bitcoin or whatever, it's going to be harder and harder for the government to police activities it wants to control in the ways that it always has. It's, you know, it's losing its ability to do that. So what it needs to start doing is thinking about what are new ways that we might achieve positive outcomes that we want, but that don't depend on our ability to suppress and control various things, because their ability to do that is eroding.
And you point toward New Zealand as taking a different approach. What are they doing there when it comes to these synthetic drugs?
Yeah, last year they passed some legislation, and it actually just kicked in, I think, in May of this year. They have this whole protocol. They've created a regulatory agency. It's called the Psychoactive Substances Regulatory Authority. And what drug developers can do there now is they can apply to get a license to develop drugs. And then if they test them and if they meet certain standards, they can legally market these new drugs. And so this, you know, they spell it all out in sort of long, lengthy guides of what sort of conditions the drugs must be manufactured under, what sort of reporting requirements there are, and what kind of results they've got. They have to do extensive testing that supposedly will end up costing around $1 million to $2 million per product. So this is not really something that you're going to be able to do in, you know,
your backyard lab or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
In a shack.
It's definitely a professional level thing. And, you know, theoretically, it will just then put recreational drugs through the same sort of processes that we use for medicinal drugs. And by the time they hit the market, they'll generally have been proven to be effective at doing what they say they're going to do and work. You know, there will still be the chance of side effects, just like there's the chance of side effects for drugs for heartburn and keeping your blood pressure down.
And Greg, that takes us to the point that you're looking for here. Your article is titled The DIY Drug Prize. You want to see the U.S. federal government, your modest proposal, promote innovation of new, less harmful recreational drugs. What would that look like?
Well, I think we could go a step further than New Zealand. New Zealand's saying, okay, here's the path that you can do this, but it's not necessarily incentivizing people to do it. I think we have, you know, a lot of companies basically that could throw a lot of resources at this problem by trying to develop drugs that were safer, that were easier to predict what happens with them. We don't incentivize them to do that. In fact, we do the opposite. We tell them, don't do anything that will create a drug that has just recreational euphoric effects. If you do that, we're going to make it illegal. So I'm saying, instead of disincentivizing these people, let's, say, actually, we want you to try to do this. And the way we're going to incent you is we're going to have a $1 billion prize. If you come up with a drug that we, deem to be, that you can show to be truly very risk-free and yet still provides these sort of intoxicating effects that people like, you win the prize. And this is, a technique that the federal government has actually been using more and more over the last 5 years or so. Almost every department in the federal government now is sponsoring a prize of some sort. The Google driverless car grew out of a prize that was initially offered by the Defense Department to develop an autonomous self-driving vehicle. The DEA is, or not the DEA, the I'm blanking on the name, but there's prizes that are being offered to develop a better light bulb, a better, more effective, fuel-efficient car, that kind of thing.
We're talking to Greg Beato with Reason Magazine. In a recent piece, he says the government should, as he just mentioned, fund a prize to promote the creation of safe, less risky, risk-free, ideally, recreational drugs. What do you think of this idea? Is this a good alternative to the ongoing war on drugs? Or is there something inherently wrong with the act of getting high or intoxicated, even if we could strip away the danger and risk of addiction? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk@WPR.org. We continue our conversation now with Greg Beato of Reason Magazine. In a recent piece, he makes the case that the federal government should fund a prize to develop a safe, legal, recreational drug. He says it's a better alternative than putting more money into the ongoing war on drugs. And we want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. If there were a legal, reasonably safe recreational drug with little or no downside, would you use it? Could it replace maybe alcohol in your life? Good idea, bad idea, what do you think? Call now at 800-642-1234 or email talk@WPR.org. We'll talk a little more about how the competition might work to get that prize. First, we'll go to Lisa on the line in Milwaukee. Lisa, hi.
Hi.
What do you think?
I think this is a really interesting idea just because, we have so many issues that we see with alcohol. And so many problems that come from it, whether it's alcohol dependency, health problems related to alcohol consumption, even some people that drink a moderate amount of alcohol can end up with health effects years down the road. And yet it's something that's legal in our society just because it's always been there. We've seen through history that we can't take away alcohol. We can't make it illegal. So why not work on developing something that is less dangerous than alcohol, but still has those same kind of effects.
Lisa, thanks a lot for the call. Greg, is that part of the line of reasoning? We've got this substance that's legal, but especially in a place like Wisconsin, we definitely see harms associated with drinking and driving, for example. This might give us a safer alternative?
Yeah, well, I think what Lisa said was correct, is that it's really hard to make something illegal. Prohibition showed us that was the case. And that was at a time when, it was still probably a lot easier than it would be now. Like, prohibition now would be orders of magnitude more disastrous because of people's greater ability to just make what they wanted and distribute what they wanted. So all the problems that we saw with prohibition in the 1920s, 1930s would be more so. So, instead of trying to keep some part of that prohibitionist mindset as what's driving our approach to drugs, what could we do differently?
Let's get in a little more to how this government-funded prize to develop a better recreational drug might work. Who, you mentioned, I think, pharmaceutical companies. Who do you see picking up the gauntlet and trying to win this prize?
Well, yeah, like I said, it would not. I'm sure they would want to structure it in a way that only relatively large, sophisticated organizations would be able to participate. Whether that's a good thing or a fair thing, I'm not sure, but typically when you are developing drugs, there's this whole, you know, process that you go through, and by drugs I mean any type of medicinal drug, where you first do testing on animals, then it goes to cohorts of individuals. It's a long, lengthy process. So anyone that's going to be able to do that and also doing it in a somewhat controlled environment, you know, because they're going to also want to have various sort of safety things in place if they're tacitly endorsing this activity, it's not going to be really that DIY and against the
but could you see a kind of a startup sort of silicon? I mean, there are startup biotech firms out there who at least start the ball rolling maybe before it gets picked up by a pharmaceutical giant. Could you see that kind of being a first step here?
Sure. And you know, just as far as funding it on the other end of it, my point is not that I expect the government to all of a sudden, you know, stop doing what it currently does. It currently spends $25 billion a year pretty regularly, you know, trying to either reduce the supply or reduce the demand of drugs. And what I'm saying is instead of, you know, you could divert a small amount of that money each year and put it into a prize pot or pool. And, you know, if someone actually comes up with a solution that works, then you give them the prize. So you're not paying for anything until you actually have a solution, and you're not actually, you know, needing any more money than for the problem, because we're just taking some money from that $25 billion a year that really isn't doing a whole lot. You know, if you look at where we are in the quote-unquote war on drugs now versus where we were 25 years ago, we haven't really made that much progress. You have a lot of people in jail. You have pretty steady rates over time of how many people do drugs. It hasn't really made a dent.
Let's go back to our callers now. We've got Adam on the line in Whitewater. Adam, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What do you think?
I just wanted to make a comment on the whole prize for a safe drug. I just don't really, I find the concept kind of silly. I mean, we're dealing with a federal government who, as of right now, still categorizes cannabis as a Schedule I drug. And for them to go out and start giving a prize for something, it just doesn't really seem possible to me. We have a substance that is relatively safe. You can, through the process of vaporization of cannabis, there's not that many medical side effects that are coming out right now. So I think until we kind of look at what's going on now in the country, I just don't really see a prize for an even newer substance as something possible in the near future.
Adam, thanks for the call. And Greg, in your piece, you used the phrase, you know, you'll be accused of this being a pipe dream. Is it?
Well, it's, you know, I'd say it's somewhat improbable. I don't expect that the government will embrace the idea. I present it as a way to just, you know, create conversation around the topic and also just sort of clarify what the government's sort of stance and strategy is.
And ultimately, you're hoping to see maybe more thought about harm reduction, maybe less of a moral emphasis in anti-drug efforts.
Absolutely.
All right, Greg, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
We've been hearing from Greg Beato. He's a columnist and contributing editor for Reason Magazine. That's where the piece appeared that we've been talking about, a prize for DIY drugs.